WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A national coalition of community groups has set this week aside as Not in Our Town Week, a week of activities to educate people how to combat hate crimes. Billings, Montana is being offered as an example of what a town can do when it unites against hate. Tammy Schnitzer is the president of the Billings Coalition for Human Rights. Schnitzer's family is one of about 50 Jewish families in Billings, a town of about 80,000 people. During one night of Hanukkah 2 years ago, someone hurled a brick through their 5-year-old son Isaac's window, a window in which a menorah was displayed. The brick landed on Isaac's bed. Fortunately, he was in another room at the time. The town soon rallied around the family. The Billings newspaper printed pictures of menorahs, which 10,000 families and businesses displayed in their windows in solidarity with the Schnitzers. Isaac was with a babysitter the night of the incident. When Tammy Schnitzer and her husband came home, they were shocked.
What frightened me the most was that someone had been watching the house. It was evident the night before when my 4-year-old son woke up screaming, saying that there was a man looking through his window. We kind of poo-pooed it off, but were very suspicious, and just reassured him that it was just a tree on the outside of his window. But we did have evidence of people watching and stalking us. And when they hit us at our most vulnerable moment, and that's when we left our children home with a sitter, we knew we really had a problem, and that the level of activity was escalating to some real blatant forms of violence.
What was your son's reaction?
My children, we felt we were sheltering them. My neighbor lady came over and bathed the children when my husband frantically cleaned the room. I often compare that situation, what he was doing, as a rape victim washing her body, trying to clear it of any evidence of what had happened. So that evening when I came home, the children were asleep underneath our bed. Because we have a house full of windows, we have an elaborate burglar alarm system in our house, neighborhood watch, all that neat stuff, but nothing's going to protect our children from bricks and things going through the window. So they slept underneath our bed. We were trying to protect them from anything else coming through. And we laid awake all night long thinking what our next move would be, trying to somehow bridle the fear that we had and use it constructively. Isaac woke up the next morning and just thought we were just camping out and tried to put on this facade of things would be okay, but it was really hard to do when U.S. Marshals and the police department were coming and the FBI and everything else. It became real difficult.
Now, what did the community do to mobilize around you?
First, they heard the story, which is real important, because I think as anyone who deals with issues of this sort, the biggest fear, the biggest problem, is not bricks going through windows, it's indifference and ears that do not hear. But they did hear the story. The Gazette made this front page news that got the community to understand and to see that a particular family was being hurt, being victimized by things of this sort. Then church people in particular certainly understood and empathized with a statement that was in the paper. I had a policeman who suggested that I take any kind of Hanukkah decorations and menorahs out of my window and basically clean my house of my Judaism to protect us. He was very innocent about it. But my response to him was that you take your Christmas tree out of your window and I'll take my menorah out of my window. I think he understood and got it then. But what was more important is people saw that and they could own that because it was around Christmas time. They understood the importance of being able to identify yourself and to take pride in yourself. And most importantly, they understood that it was important for your children to be able to witness that, to grow up to be healthy.
So people started placing pictures of menorahs in their windows.
That's right.
Who started that idea?
I have to say the very first person that truly did start it was a little girl named Rebecca Bacon who came to my door at 7 o'clock the following morning with a picture that she had drawn and walked up to my son Isaac and helped him scotch tape a menorah in our window, and then she in turn put one in hers. Various churches and organizations started photocopy menorahs to place in windows. The Billings Coalition for Human Rights was extremely instrumental in making sure that businesses had menorahs to distribute to the townspeople. We had just great enthusiasm throughout the city of Billings on an organizational level and on individual levels.
Now, there were other incidents in the community, too, where people were victimized because of their ethnicity, their race, their religion. Maybe you could just mention a couple of the other incidents and what the community response was.
Well, let me say that our Native American community suffers from this continuously. I had a woman named Dawn Fasthorse who walked out of her small little home with her four children to go to school in South Swastikas and horrible four-letter words describing them on the side of their home and witnessed by their children. I have had our African-American church were being intimidated by skinheads sitting in the back and just taunting them as they were going on with their services. We were having desecrations of cemeteries and bomb threats at the synagogue, and it was going on continuously. And the more it went on, the more my eyes had opened up and actually witnessed what was going on a daily basis to the community as a whole. Terry, let me say that this never was a Jewish issue. This was always a human rights issue. And that's what made it so frightening to me, but also an easy issue to sell, simply because if it was happening to me, it was happening to you. It was happening to a neighbor. It was happening to the community. And if you were able to get people to own it, you were able to get the community to respond to it. And so if you didn't get into specific groups, if you just labeled it as a human rights issue, everyone had to own it.
When the brick got thrown through the window of your house, the community mobilized by putting menorahs in their window as a gesture of solidarity. What happened when the African-American church was being terrorized? What did people do for that?
People started rallying around the church and started attending the services and standing behind the skinheads who were standing behind the African-American community. And I basically witnessing what was going on, but most importantly, just standing behind the African-American community literally became intimidating to the skinheads that were trying to intimidate that community.
Now, you've not only lived in Billings all of your life, but you're the fourth generation of your family to live there.
Mm-hmm.
Is this new in Billings, or had you seen evidence of this for many years?
You know, I have to say that I was converted to Judaism 14 years ago, and I lived in a real nice little circle that I think a lot of Montanans and a lot of people throughout America live in and don't see beyond their circle. And converting to Judaism, I suddenly put someone else's shoes on and realized that my quality of life was different than those who are in a minority group. And then having a chance to do that, I had also a chance to reflect back and realize some of the things that were going on in my life that could have been hurtful to other people, whether it was the racial jokes or whether it was the nonverbal communication that you felt towards minority groups. I realized that that was just as devastating and damaging to those souls and egos as any kind of blatant form of hate that we were now suddenly getting in the form of hate letters or death threats over the phone. So it had been there, and it will be there, and it'll always be there.
My guest is Tammy Schnitzer, president of the Billings Coalition for Human Rights. The story of how Billings, Montana, fought back against hate crimes is told in the documentary Not in Our Town, which will be shown on many PBS stations December 17th, the first night of Hanukkah. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Tammy Schnitzer. Her family was the victim of anti-Semitic hate crimes. The community of Billings, Montana, rallied to their support. You know, there's often a debate about hate crimes, you know, whether extremists should be ignored and then maybe they'll go away, or whether it's better to really pay attention to them and to do your best to stop them. The ignore them argument goes something like, the more attention you pay to them, the happier they're going to be. They want the attention. The more attention you pay, the more importance you give to them. Did you ever go through that phase of thinking, well, this is better off being ignored?
Terry, when I first suffered a hate crime 5 years ago, I got a death threat over the phone. Within a half an hour's time after the death threat, it was from an older man on the phone. It wasn't from a young skinhead. I pulled my car out, and someone shot out the side of my minivan window, covering my infant son with glass. It was witnessed by neighbors. I reported it to the police. The police came, and even though those two incidences were no more than a half an hour apart, I, in my mind, did not want to connect it. I didn't want to think that someone would hate me so much that they would be willing to risk that or do that. So I ignored it. I did. But you can't ignore it when it keeps happening and happening and happening. And that was the trick, and that was truly how you get the community to respond, is every time you get a hate letter, you give it to the people that are in power. So then their pile is just as thick as your pile is.
Living in Billings, do you think that your area is particularly targeted by hate groups because it's part of an area that white supremacist groups want to set aside for an area and homeland?
Definitely. We live in a very isolated area. It's very homogeneous. It's easy to get people to rally around when they've not met anyone who is African American, or very few African Americans, when they've not met anyone Jewish, when they've only heard or seen the bad side of a minority group and not really experienced the core, the crux of a particular minority group. It's easy to do that. When you live in a very large metropolitan area, you have many friends of different cultures and backgrounds. Here, I think we're very vulnerable.
Now, do you have any idea if most of the people behind the hate crimes in Billings have been the sons and daughters of your neighbors, of people who are from Billings, or whether they're people from the outside who want to kind of capture this land for an area and homeland?
Oh, we've had people from the outside come in. The skinhead that walked into my house one day to intimidate me and my children was not from the Billings area. But then we do have people that are being raised by very bigoted people, a second generation, who are now part of the skinhead movement. So it's a mixed group. We get a lot of heavy recruitment from the outside of Montana, but they are able to recruit people from the inside community.
Are there still many hate crimes in Billings, even though the community has mobilized against hate crimes?
Well, I would have to say that we'd have to define what hate crime is. Do we still have insensitivities? Do we still have some real issues and problems concerning racism? We definitely do. Do we have the more blatant forms of hate? I don't think so, but those insensitivities and those bigoted acts certainly do lead to the very blatant forms of hate.
So there are still maybe racist comments, but you don't have people shooting at other people just because they're Jewish or African-American or Native American?
No. But we do have a generation that is still real naive about the problem.
So
when I have people come up to me and say, Tammy, and pat me on the back and say, aren't you glad this is over with, and they're from school board members, or when I have a senator repeat a joke with the N-word in it and think it's perfectly acceptable, I have a real problem with that.
What advice do you have for other towns that also have a problem with hate crimes?
Getting your neighbors to understand what the real issues are, and the real issue isn't skinheads or neo-Nazis. It's having them own their own racism, dispelling indifference. By doing so, connecting your issue, your problem with them. I was able to do that by taking my children to people of power and to my neighbors and saying, gosh, this is happening to Isaac and Rachel and little Hillary, who was a Native American little girl that I was taking care of at that time. And they, too, had children. And I'd say, isn't that horrible that these babies are being affected by that? And how could they not own that? They themselves were parents, too. There were different rules then. They understood it. They then saw this as happening to their community when you did that. But my advice, again, and I have to emphasize this over and over again, is to speak out, not to let it happen. Because to let it happen, I'm frightened to say what would have happened if we hadn't spoke out.
Now, your husband is from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Was he shocked by the hostility toward Jews in Billings?
He grew up in the 60s, and he was certainly not allowed to become a member of certain country clubs, wasn't allowed to go to certain Sadie Hawkins dances because they were going to be held at country clubs because he was Jewish. He certainly remembers signs that wouldn't allow specific Jews to shop at stores. But he was shocked by the violence. But, you know, not as shocked as I think someone younger than him, simply because he was closer to what mm-hmm. had just happened in the Holocaust than maybe I was. He's 10 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holocaust was only 50 years ago, and it still haunts and it still leaves a horrible, horrible taste in people's mouth to this day who witnessed it or who was somehow involved in it.
How are you celebrating Hanukkah this year?
The same way we do every year. We decorate our home with a lot of enthusiasm. We make those latkes and souvganiyot and have people over for parties and gather around and celebrate miracles. And in particular, a miracle that happened in 93.
Do you have menorahs in the window?
Yes.
Do
all the windows.
No, are other people still putting menorahs in their windows in solidarity, or is that just something in the past?
No, I people do. I've not as many, of course. People tend to respond to during critical times, but driving through the streets of Billings, even today, my neighbors have menorahs in their window, and strangers have their menorahs in the window, and I find that quite pleasant and extremely safe.
Tammy Schnitzer is now the president of the Billings Coalition for Human Rights. The story of how the people of Billings, Montana, united against hate crimes is told in the documentary Not in Our Town, which will be shown on many PBS stations on December 17th, the first night of Hanukkah. The story is told for children in the new children's book, The Christmas Menorah, How a Town Fought Hate.